I don't think we could have picked a better song for what we're about to study. A CBS survey was done just last year that said a third of clergy respondents were considering both leaving their congregation and the ministry altogether, with nearly another third considering one or the other. The year before that, or 2 years ago, I guess, in 2022, Barna Research reported half of the pastors who have considered quitting full-time ministry, actually it was 56%, said that the immense stress of the job has factored into their thoughts on leaving. Beyond these general stressors, the Barna Report says, 2 in 5, that was 43%, said, I feel lonely and isolated, while 38% said political divisions, I thought that was interesting, as reasons they've considered stepping away. Now, this is not meant to be a ministry on tender pastors thinking about getting out of the ministry, because it's not just pastors who suffer burnout. Any of us who attempt to serve God in some way, but in the flesh, when we say, I've got this, we really set ourselves up for a real problem. Satan seems to be winning. The lost don't seem to be listening. The church seems to be shrinking. And so why not throw in the towel and walk away? Do you know that reference, what that is a reference to? My dad was a boxer and used to take me to boxing matches at times. And I remember one of the first ones I went to, a guy was outmatched and getting beat to the punch. I'm not criticizing, because I think I would have done this when I walked in and saw them, my opponent. But he just wasn't quitting, but he wasn't fighting back. And finally, his manager took a towel and threw it in, and the ref knew immediately to stop the fight. Part of me respects that guy for not wanting to give up, but he probably wouldn't have been able to put two sentences together if they'd let him keep suffering that kind of a beating much longer. What is it that makes us in ministry sometimes get discouraged and say, you know what, I just need a break. I need to throw in the towel. Time out here. I need to step away from all this. A lot of Paul's instruction to Timothy and the churches could be summed up in this: continue in the things that you have learned. In 1 Timothy 1:19, he talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have made shipwreck of their faith. We don't want that. We want to continue. At the end of 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, I think it is, he has this admonition to grow in grace. All of us. He's talking to all disciples. He's especially talking in 1 Peter to suffering disciples, who in 1 Peter 1:1, he talks about those, the elect, who are part of this diaspora, who are scattered abroad. So in our text that was read to us, as stewards of God's grace, right? Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, 1 through 6, we are to live distinctive lives. He talks about not this way, not this way, not in drinking parties, not lawless idolatry. That's what you did in the past. We have distinctive lives. And then in verses 7 through 10, with distinctive service, he talks about how we should love, how we should serve. When we talk about Christian service, it is not measured in hours or calories. We can't say, oh, I've done a lot. Or in things built. Look, I built that, I did this, I developed this Sunday school material, whatever else. Let's look at this Christian service real quick to get us caught up. In Peter identifies this as marked by, in verse 7, he says, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Christians are not to be intoxicated by anything, that would take the edge off, that would make it so that we're not clear thinking. We should be discerning, showing good judgment, especially in the light of who our enemy is. And in chapter 5 and verse 8, he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. We need to be vigilant. We need to have an edge about us. So we should be so self-controlled and sober-minded. In the next verse, in verse 8, he talks about this mutual love. This is not a feeling. This is not being amorous. Love is an activity of service that points to God's love. That's the right kind of love, not just that brings attention to us, but that people are on the receiving end of our service, our love, this mutual love, and it points to God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, he says, only the Lord can make you increase and abound in love for one another. It's not a natural thing we're talking about here. It becomes a very unnatural thing sometimes to say, you know, if I'm going to love the way Christ wants me to love in the body of Christ, he's going to have to make this increase and abound in love for one another. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as still you do. The writer of Hebrews says, unlike others, God's not unjust. Other people may overlook your service and these acts of love. He knows. He keeps the records of that. So into our outpouring service, God is pouring his love so that, look at verse 9, showing hospitality to one another without grumbling. Well, we should be having each other over for dinner, right? Not a bad idea. But this idea of hospitality meant a love shown to strangers. Remember in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, they were told what to do for strangers, literally the idea of aliens in your midst. Listen to this verse. When an alien or stranger lives within you in your land, do not mistreat them. That makes sense. Love him as yourself. So when you see somebody who's got a different culture, skin tone, background, whatever else, and you say that so many things about them are foreign to me, love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. In Matthew 22:39, Jesus points to the second law. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. This is this idea. I can't develop this whole idea of hospitality right now, but we show the love of Christ in saying, you know, this home is my castle. This is my time. We say, no, I'm going to bring people in. I'm going to point to Christ by showing them that. Verse 10, we also do this by Christian service. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as the good stewards of God's varied grace. Safe to say, you've not only been called to follow Christ, but called to serve, but he has gifted us so that we can do so. In what way, if you look back over this week, could you point out one thing that you would say, with the gifts that God has given of this varied, manifold, multifaceted grace of God, how did I use that gift to serve in a way that reflected on my Savior? What makes this machinery run? This hospitality, this service, this mutual love, this being sober-minded. What makes that run? Well, verse 11 is the one verse, the one verse I want us to look at, the verse that drives the message. Again, let me read it out loud. Whoever speaks as the one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as the one who serves, say that it rests with me by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Keep reading. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Folks, ministry and service can be draining, yes? When done right, you can feel tired. I asked Anna a minute ago, how's school going? I'm tired. I would accept that, but during vacation in the middle of summer, that's her answer. I'm tired. This girl's always tired. But you know, we all can feel that way to some extent. You know what? I keep praying for this person. I have reached out to this neighbor. I'm trying to help this family member see their need for Christ. I'm doing this, and nothing is coming of it. You know, we've seen missionaries that have walked away, pastors that have walked away, Christians that say, you know what, I just need a break. Okay, we're not talking about do you need a rest or a physical retreat or getting away for a while, but the idea of I need to just step back from ministry for a while or forever. That kind of burnout is used of Satan. When he talks in our text in verse 10 there, to serve one another, and in verse 11, whoever speaks. Well, we all speak. Speaking the word of God. What is this? I'm going to put it this way. First of all, remember your power supply. You want to avoid burnout? Remember your power supply. What is needed? What's it needed for? He says in verse 11, speaking the word of God. Paul had been called of God to speak out among Gentiles the grace of God. And in Ephesians 6:18, he prays that God will open my mouth that I may speak boldly with the opportunities that he gives me. The very thing that he knew he was called to do, he says, I need power and grace to do. And he asks the church, pray for me that I will do exactly that. But I would say that all public preaching, all private witnessing requires the same power supply that we're talking about. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, that's a section that he's talking about the gift list. And in verse 8, he talks about this. Well, let me read it to you real quick. Verse 8, he says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. Verse 9 goes on to say, says, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. All preaching, all teaching, all evangelism, all counsel that we do is part of this, if anyone speaks, this laleo, this speaking out for God with the word of God. Verse 11 in a different version puts this this way, whoever speaks, let it be with God's words. I don't speak by inspiration. I can't say the Holy Spirit takes my words, but he does use his words. I'm to be speaking his words when I counsel or teach or preach or witness, not my own. I'm not giving somebody just advice. We recognize that we're God's mouthpiece and his word flows through us with the words of God. What this power supply is needed for is speaking the word of God and serving the people of God. There's a lot more ways that we can serve than just speak. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher. There's all these gifts of service to the one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. To me, this is another way that is proof that we need the local church. Because the local church in our relationships, in our duties, our responsibilities, this is one of the primary ways that we're going to serve God by serving one another is in the local church. Galatians 5:13 says, through love, serve one another. Don't just serve, do it through love. So if you serve, but you do it grudgingly, it's not by God's power. It's not for God's glory. All right. So it's needed for, and I gave you a couple things, and I'm going to tell you also what this power supply is found in. Does God do job training or job energizing? Does he just tell us what to do, or does he actually empower us to do it? Our text says, by the strength that God supplies. That tells me that the energy is not found in us naturally, inherently. It is worked out through us supernaturally. It is this, I have a duty in this. Did you know that? I have a duty in this. Stir up, Paul told Timothy, the gift of God. And I have an assurance that I have an unlimited resource in this. By the strength, our verse says, 4:11, by the strength which the Lord supplies. So with the humility that we talked about today, with the service that we're talking about right now, in all that we serve and teach, it's all by God's strength. Whether Marvin's cleaning, he can clean, and as he's vacuuming, he can be grumping about something. I can't believe somebody dropped these wrappers. I can't believe we had another wedding with glitter. By the way, he loves glitter. He just loves him some glitter. But, you know, any of us can go about our job and say, but nobody knows the motivation and the process. But when we say, you know, it is my privilege to serve the Lord in this regard. If no one ever sees me clean this or fix this or prepare this lesson, Jessica's helping working on our something for our sign. You know, a lot of these things, people don't know who did that. Of course, Jessica usually signs her name at the bottom of everything real big so that you see. But you know, the things that we do are not for the applause, the praise of man, but they are all for the glory of God, which leads us to this next point. Remember your power supply, and finally, recognize your purpose. What is the purpose that he says? In order that, so what we receive is by the strength that the Lord supplies. Here's the purpose statement. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To glorify God for everything you do on this earth. Is that what motivates us? Say, yes, and I'm growing in that. There's room for improvement. I understand that. Does this drive all we do? Whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Now I have a visiting speaker who I brought with me. Every once in a while, I contact a missionary and I say, hey, I'm preaching on this week. And you got anything that you want to add? And if it's really good, I just take credit for it. Yeah, No. So I contacted somebody this week and I said, hey, this Sunday afternoon, I'm focusing on 1 Peter 4:11, how to avoid burnout by doing all by the strength that God supplies. Peter closes with the doxology. Would you share how you believe the average Christian can glorify God through Jesus Christ? And here's what Mark Perry didn't answer the way I would have answered, but this is good. And I told him I would like to share this. Mark said, if God, in his good sovereignty, has joined you together in marriage, Matthew 19:6, then you can glorify God by accurately reflecting the relationship of Jesus and his church. Husbands can glorify God by loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives can glorify God by submitting to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. And if you're not married, then God has currently called you to singleness. You can glorify God by pursuing undivided devotion to the Lord. He's quoting from 1 Corinthians 7:35. God is glorified, and your brothers and sisters in Christ are built up when you live out that kind of single-minded pursuit of Jesus Christ. Good point. So I'm looking for some special way to glorify God. Take the job, the responsibility, the role that he has given you, the gifts that he has given you, and do that by the strength which he supplies, and God is glorified. There's no question about it. So I want us to notice in closing that doxology, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. We magnify God when we make him the source and the substance of all that we do. I'm going to close with a statement from Spurgeon. He said, "Note how Peter has the same spirit in him which burned in the breast of Paul, for he stops in the middle of the letter, lays down his pen, lifts up his heart to God in an adoring strain of thanksgiving, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Listen, when you're serving, you say, "But I can't be praising God. I'm just too tired." Something's wrong. When you when you're serving, it doesn't come natural to praise and glorify God. Something's wrong. Maybe you do need some more rest. Maybe you do need some help. Burnout does not come from doing too much or not having enough help. Okay? Burnout comes from trying to do whatever we do, little or a lot, in our own strength. Let's be in prayer for each other. Let's be in prayer for pastors in our fellowship. Let's be in prayer for missionaries on the other side of the world, that they don't try to do what they don't look at their schedule this week and go, "Oh, I got to teach this class. I got to meet with this person. I got to counsel this person. I don't even get a break before I do this. I got this coming. I've got this deadline." And you know what? It's enough. I'm done. There are missionaries at times coming back to the States and then staying, just saying, "Yeah, I need a break. I just drop out." That's not the time to say you're doing that in the flesh. But all of us need to say, you know, I need to be careful, because burnout doesn't come by what I'm doing, but by doing it in my strength. We can carry a lot on these shoulders if the Lord enables us, and it is for his glory. You might look back over a life of service and say, "Now I'm really exhausted when I see all that got done." But in the moment, as we're serving, you start to get fatigued or discouraged or frustrated, and you say, "By the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Now, I'm sorry, Lincoln, you're not done. I like that song so much, I'm going to ask our song leader and pianist to come up. Now that we've looked at this text, let's go ahead and sing at least one verse. Landon, can we do at least one verse in review of that message? Okay.